Lord, please, in a word of opening prayer. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we come into thy holy presence this morning to worship thee, to praise thee. We ask, O God, that this morning you'll give us help to praise thee aright. Lord, be with us today. Lord, aid us in our worship. Help us, Lord, as we would sing thy praise. We come around the word of God. May everything be to the honor and to the glory of our Savior today. In the name of our Savior, we ask all of these things. Amen. Hymn number 58, page 199, word to be on the screen. Jesus, the name high over all, in hell or earth or sky, angels and men before it fall, and devils fear and fly. Hymn number 58, we'll stand together as we sing this opening hymn, please. As we come to prayer this morning, we want, as a congregation, to express our sympathy to our dear brother Tom Newbury. As I'm sure you will all know by this stage, our sister Jennifer passed away on Monday afternoon and called home to glory, and her funeral service took place here on Friday afternoon. And to Tom, we express our sympathy. And we pray that the Lord will bless him. We're very thankful for the months, although short they were, to get to know Jennifer. But the Lord has saw fit to take her home. And today her seat is empty here in this church, and her seat is empty in her home. But we pray the Lord will give grace, and the Lord will give that help as we all mourn the home calling of our sister Jennifer. Let's seek the Lord, and let's remember Tom and his family, especially as we come to prayer this morning. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we come into thy presence. We're thankful, O God, today for our Savior, the one who's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. We thank the Lord today that there's not a pang that rends the human heart, but the man of sorrows has a part. And Heavenly Father, we thank thee this morning that as we come to thee, we thank the Lord that you know all about our griefs and our sorrows. And we can say what a friend we have in Jesus. And O God, we pray that this morning, especially, Lord, that you would draw very near to those who mourn. We think especially of our dear brother Tom. We ask, O God, that as he has lost his dear wife, we just pray, Lord, that you'll draw very near to him, strengthen him, and be with him. And Lord, we pray that you'll help him in the days that lie ahead. Lord, there'll be loneliness and the emptiness. And, O God, we pray that you'd be pleased, Lord, to fill that vacant chair, we pray. And Lord, in the lonely, quiet hours, may Tom know the nearness of his Savior. We thank the Lord for Jennifer. We thank the Lord for her salvation. We thank the Lord for her dedication to the house of God here. We thank the Lord for her faithfulness. And Lord, while it has pleased thee to call her home, yet Lord, as a congregation, we mourn her passing. Yet, O God, we thank thee today that she's with Christ. And Lord, we praise thee that she's in the presence of her Savior today. And O God, we pray that you'll speak on to all of the family at this time. We, Lord, pray for Tom's children. We think of Tom and Robert. We think of Caroline. We pray, Lord, for all the grandchildren. We think, Lord, of Jennifer's sister Rosemary and her brother Malcolm. We just pray, Lord, that you'll just draw very near. Lord, in the midst of grief and sorrow, may they find the Lord Jesus Christ to be their strength and to be their stay. Our Father, we pray that you'll just bless us all today. Lord, you know every heart, Lord. Lord, that's heavy. Lord, you know each one who needs thee in a particular way. And so, Lord, draw near to each and to all. We ask, O God, today that you'll bless each one who has been enabled to gather in the house of the Lord. We thank the Lord for the health and the strength that you've given to us to be here. And so, our Father, we pray that you'll help us to worship thee in spirit and in truth. We ask, O God, that today our, Lord, fellowship together, our meeting here in the house of the Lord will be sweet. Come, O God, we pray, meet with us in a very particular way. We pray, Lord, today for those who continue to be unwell in the congregation, Lord, those who, Lord, need the touch of the Lord's hand to be upon them. Draw near to them, we pray. And Lord, strengthen them. Lord, raise them back, Lord, to that desired measure of health and strength once again. And Heavenly Father, we pray that in thy will very soon we'll see them back in the house of the Lord. Remember, Lord, those today who are cold and careless about the things of God. We pray, Lord, that you'll just speak to them. And Lord, we pray that wherever they are this Lord's Day morning, we pray, Lord, that you'll bring them back to thyself. And Lord, bring them back to their first love, O God, we pray. Lord, we pray that you'll do our hearts good this morning as we gather ourselves in the house of the Lord. We thank thee today that we come to serve a Savior who's alive, one Lord who lives in that power of an endless life. And Heavenly Father, we pray that today, Lord, that our worship of thee might be acceptable in thy sight. Bless us, Lord, as we sing thy praise. Bless us around the word of God. Come and speak to all of our hearts. Lord, do us good, we pray. We pray, Lord, you'll bless the going forth of thy word today across our land and across our nation. O God, we cry unto thee for this land of ours. Lord, turn us again, O God. Cause thy face to shine upon us. And Heavenly Father, we pray that we might, Lord, see days of the right hand of God. And Heavenly Father, we pray, defeat all the plans of sin and Satan. Lord, drive back the forces of hell. And Lord, raise that standard for truth and for righteousness. Remember, Lord, this area. We pray, Lord, for this district. We ask, O God, that you'll come in mighty power. Lord, we pray that you'll take away the indifference and the carelessness, Lord, that is rampant in so many hearts in East Belfast at this time. And Lord, turn many to thyself. We pray, Lord, you'll build up the people of God, build up the church of Jesus Christ. And Heavenly Father, we pray that we might see souls being saved, even this day. Lord, bring in people to the house of God, even this evening. Lord, bring them in unto the sound of the word of God, we pray. And most of all, bring them to thyself. Save souls and build thy church, we ask. So, Lord, we pray today for those who are serving thee in far-off lands. Lord, we pray for our missionaries today and every missionary, Lord, who seeks to extend the cause of Christ and preach the glorious gospel. Bless them. Remember, Lord, the persecuted church, the underground church who do not have the liberty such as we have. Meet with them today. And, Lord, we pray that you'll bless them and encourage them and strengthen them in their faith, and Lord, as they seek to serve thee in hard and difficult places. So, our Father, we look to thee. Bless us, we pray. Do our hearts good. And Lord, we have cause to rejoice in all that the Lord is doing for us. So hear and answer prayer and be with us this day, we pray. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. We're turning again this morning to the book of 2 Kings, please. The book of 2 Kings in the chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. We continue in our studies in the life of Elisha. 2 Kings chapter 4. And we're going to read from verse number 8 down to the end of verse 17. 2 Kings chapter 4 and the verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick, and it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and turned into the chamber, and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call the Shunammite. When he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king, or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, What is then to be done for her? Gehazi answered, Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived, and bare a son. And at that season, at that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. We want to welcome you all along this morning to our morning worship service. We're glad to see you in the house of the Lord. We're still very much in the midst, in the throes of holiday time. Others are away, still others are unwell, and we're glad to see each one this morning in the house of the Lord. And we welcome you sincerely. We say that every week, but we just don't say it out of formality or ritual. We say it genuinely. We're glad to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. We have a visitor from Scotland. We have Rachel with us today, friend of Annie, and we're glad to have you this morning. We welcome you, and we trust that you're enjoying your time over here. Pray the Lord will bless you as you're with us today. Also, to those who are watching online, we welcome you as part of our congregation this morning. We come back again for our gospel meeting tonight at 6:30. We'd love to see you back in the house of the Lord tonight, so let's make every effort to come back for the gospel meeting this evening. That'll be preceded by the season of prayer at 6 p.m. So come join with us, and why not invite somebody along even to the gospel meeting tonight? Now, we are hoping to have an open air. However, the forecast is not looking very favorable. It looks like thunderstorms are coming this way later on this evening, so we probably won't be able to have it, but we'll see how things go after tonight. But we'll see how things go. Certainly, the gospel service will be here. We'll be sheltered from the rain and the thunder if it does come in here at 6:30. Then tomorrow morning, that sees the recommencement after a break of 3 years of our Sandown summer camp. A new venue and many new campers coming along this year. And all the various points for prayer were laid before you by Kyle and Anna on Tuesday night. And we want you to remember the camp in prayer. Pray that the Lord will bless, the Lord will undertake, keep all safe, and the Lord will give protection to each and to all. Pray for Kyle and for Anna as they lead up the camp this year. Pray that the Lord will draw very near to them and to all of the leaders and the workers, that the Lord will give a blessed time this year at summer camp. It's down in Delamont Country Park, just outside Downpatrick this year. New venue, and everything's new. And so we pray the Lord will bless summer camp as it gets back to its normal format. So please do remember, camp in prayer day by day, and pray that most of all that the Lord will speak to young hearts and save little ones. Pray for our sister Auntie Joyce as she ministers morning and evening in the meetings, in the camp meetings, and pray that lives will be changed by the gospel. Pray as well for children who are coming to camp for the first time. Pray that the Lord will take away any homesickness, nerves and fears, that the Lord will undertake for all of that. And as Kyle said, that there'll be no trips to A&E, because A&E is a wee bit further away this year. It's just not down the road in Dundonald, where it used to be in previous years when the camp was in control. But pray that everyone will keep themselves safe. Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, our Bible study and prayer meeting. And our brother Adam will be speaking this Tuesday evening at the Bible study and prayer meeting. Then on Saturday, that is the open-air gospel witness at the Sodomite Parade. That's been held at the usual venue outside the old bank, the junction of North Street and Waring Street, at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning. And if you're free, you'd be welcome to join with others as they seek for that gospel witness on Saturday morning. Then the services both times next Lord's Day, 11:30 and 6:30. And do remember the seasons of prayer before both of the meetings as well next Sunday. Our brother Adam will be speaking next Sunday morning and evening, and pray the Lord bless him as he brings God's word not only on Tuesday night but also on the Lord's Day as well. Some other matters for prayer that we want you to remember. There are many unwell in the congregation at this time, and pray the Lord will touch them and strengthen them and heal them and restore them back again to health and strength. We would ask you very particularly to remember one of our dear elders, our dear brother Alvin. Alvin will be commencing treatment for prostate cancer in the upcoming weeks, and we want you to remember Alvin in your prayers, that the Lord will be with him and help him, and remember Margaret as well as they go through this time. And pray the Lord be with Alvin and keep him safe at this time. I want to thank you for your offering on Tuesday night past for the summer camp. That came to £785.50. That's a tremendous offering. I want to thank you sincerely for your giving to the summer camp. Now, there's another individual has reached a significant milestone in her life that we want to announce this morning. I don't normally announce ladies' age. I do the men, because we don't really care. But Dorothy Kennedy reaches a significant milestone this coming week. Let's just say she's halfway to 100, and she'll be celebrating that milestone. The Lord bless you. Happy birthday to you. And I hope you have a good time there in Bundoran when you're away for your few days. It's lovely down in Bundoran, no matter what they say. Do as well remember the outreaches over the summer months, as well as our summer camp. We have outreaches at the end of August and into September as well. We have a children's mission and a gospel mission coming up in the Redburn Community Centre at the end of August. Remember those meetings, please, in your prayers. Also, the children's mission being held in Clarewood, just down the road from us here, at the start of September, in the lead-up to the recommencement of the Sunday School and the Explorers Club. So remember those in your prayers, please. Also remember Adam's valedictory service as he prepares to go to Bible College. That will be on Sunday, the 11th of September, at 6:30 here in the church. Church dinner will be on Friday the 23rd of September. Keep that date free, and we'll give more details closer to the time. I'll be on holiday for the next number of weeks, and so if there is any need for pastoral care, then please do contact any of the elders, and that will be attended to. Finally, the offering boxes are available there for you as you leave for all your tithes and your offerings. We're turning again to the hymn number 621, please, as we further sing the Lord's praise, 621. We love the place, O God, wherein thine honour dwells, the joy of thine abode, all earthly joy excel. 621, page 47. The words will be on the screen, and we'll stand together as we sing this hymn, please. I should have said as well that our brother Philip Bowles will be here tonight to sing. He told me he was coming here. He's on holidays at the moment, and he willingly volunteered his services. I wasn't going to ask him, but he said he would come and sing. So I willingly offered and accepted that. So he'll be along this evening as well to sing tonight at 6:30. So there's absolutely no excuse for you not to come back tonight to the gospel meeting. Let's turn in the Word of God this morning again to 2 Kings chapter 4. I want to look at this morning at the subject of practical Christianity. Practical Christianity. As we continue our studies in the life of Elisha, and we come to another one of those familiar parts in his life and his ministry, as we deal at this with the subject this morning of practical Christianity. Before we come to the word of the Lord, let's seek his help, please, in a word of prayer. And let's pray the Lord will bless us and speak to us through his word this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank thee today again for the word of God. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll be pleased to bless the word to our hearts. We ask, O God, that you'll take thy word. And Lord, open our hearts, we pray, to the word of God. We pray, Lord, you'll be pleased to give us, Lord, that hearing ear, that understanding heart. And Lord, that willing and ready mind and hand to do what the Lord would have to say to us. Lord, we pray, Lord, ask, O God, today for the Spirit of God. We pray, Lord, for the infilling, for the power of Pentecost to rest upon us. Give us help, Lord, to preach, and give us help to hear. And may everything be to the honor and to the glory of thy great name. Answer prayer for us. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. The whole subject and arena of practical Christianity has been ignored and abused in equal measure throughout the history of the Church of Jesus Christ. On one side, there are those who will deny that there is any real need for practical Christianity to be shown by the people of God, and all the emphasis is laid on doctrine and very little, if any, on duty. And then there are those on the other side of the spectrum who overemphasize practical Christianity at the expense of any teaching or instructing in the truths of God's Word. It's all duty, but no doctrine. However, while we must and should emphasize and prioritize the teaching of Scripture, there should not be the neglect of practical Christianity as well. And as we consider these verses this morning, as we continue our study in the life of Elisha, I believe this is a prime example of practical Christianity at work. As Elisha continues his ministry, as he seeks to serve the Lord, as he seeks to do the work of the Lord, we see that there is a home, there's a man and there's a woman who has a burden for this man of God and seeks to provide for him practically. The home that we look at today is centered on this place called Shunem. It's clearly a godly home, and we'll see that as we go through this message today. But it's a home where Elisha was welcomed as he sought to do the work and the ministry of the Lord. Yet one thing is important to point out here. That right at the very commencement of our study this morning concerning this practical care and consideration that was shown to Elisha, that he never asked for it. He never sought it. Elisha did not demand such respect and care or to seek to feather his own nest. He simply was doing what he was called to do. His only agenda was the work of God. And if kindness was shown to him during the course of that work, then so be it. And so as we continue in our studies in the life of Elisha, let us see this morning from these verses what practical Christianity really is all about. And what lessons we can learn as we study the Word of God this morning. First of all, I want you to notice here the regard that was shown. The regard that was shown. This lady, we only know her as the Shunammite woman. showed a great Christian regard toward Elisha, and in so doing, I believe, she showed great practical Christianity and the strength of her own Christian faith as well. Notice some ways in which she showed regard for the man of God. Notice, first of all, her devotion. Look in verse 8. It fell on a day that Elisha passed a Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. She constrained him as he passed on his ministry to join her and her family in their home for food. As we will go on to see this morning, this woman knew that there was something about this man. This was a godly man. And she felt it was her Christian duty to help this man out by providing meals and food for him as he went about the Lord's work. This woman's devotion to the Lord was seen in a very practical manner by seeking to help out other of God's people in a very practical and in a very hands-on way. You know, there's a wonderful lesson there. Not everyone is called to public ministry. Not everyone is called to work amongst the children or young people. This woman may never have been on any work rota in the local church for any public ministry, but she felt it was her responsibility to seek to serve the Lord even in this way. And her devotion to the Lord was seen in serving and in practical provision for the servant of God and in making meals for him. A seemingly insignificant task. But yet, it is recorded here in Scripture as being something important. Not minimizing this lady's work or service for the Lord at all, but such was the importance of her work that it is recorded for us here in the pages of Scripture. You see, this devotion was not any less important or any less significant than if she had been teaching children in a Sunday school. You can serve the Lord in a practical way as well. You may feel you can't teach or speak publicly. But maybe you can make a meal for someone in the church who would really appreciate it. Maybe someone who's living alone. And you can make a meal for them, send them a card. Phone them, get in contact with them. Maybe you're shut-ins, no longer able to get out. You could, in a practical way, just like this lady did, seek to meet their needs in this practical manner. And that is a service, and that is a ministry, just as it is for every part of the work of God. You see, here was a woman seeking for opportunities to serve the Lord. Look at verse 8 again. It fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem. Here was an opportunity for her to serve the Lord, and she didn't miss it. She took this opportunity in this practical way to serve her Lord and Master. We see in verse 8 as well that she's described here as a great woman. The word great there means to indicate substance and wealth. We would say she was well healed. But she was only too happy to share what the Lord had given to her and to use what the Lord had given to her to seek to serve others. Such is her devotion to the Lord. We see not only her devotion to the Lord, but we see as well her discernment. Look at verse number 9. And she said unto her husband, "Behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passes by us continually." I perceive that this is a holy man of God, Now, there are a number of things that we could say about that discernment. First of all, it was a compliment to Elisha. He was a man who, by his life and by his character, was seen to be a man of God. By his walk, by his witness, by his manner, he displayed all the marks of a godly man. We're instructed in Scripture, be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And that word conversation means our lifestyle, everything we do. We are to display the marks of holiness and godliness. And this clearly was the point here for Elisha. What a testimony. This woman just had to see Elisha go by and say, there's a man of God. Do we live a life that's marked by holiness? Do we live a life that is marked by godliness? Do others, as they look upon us, do they see something different in us? This woman says, I perceive that this is an holy man of God. This woman was able to discern that there was something different about the man of God, Elisha. We don't know if she ever heard Elisha speak, but she saw holiness in him. And as you read verse 9 again, you will see that she saw holiness especially in the home. In verse 8 we read that he turned in thither to eat bread. He did it regularly and often. And in their home and outside of their home, this woman saw holiness in this man. She saw holiness in the home. And folks, isn't that where it starts? Oh, it's easy to put on a show of holiness. It's easy to put on a show of godliness to the outside world to play the crowd. It's the easiest thing in the world. But at home, does our life shine for the Lord? At home, do others see Christ within us? Because if they don't see it in the home, it doesn't matter what else they might see outside of it. If there's no holiness in the home, any other form of holiness is a sham and a show. It spoke and it complimented much about Elisha, that here holiness was marked in his life. But it also spoke about the woman. She showed great discernment, as we've said. She showed great godliness in her life because she was looking out for godliness in the life of others. Well, she didn't say, well, Elisha, he's a nice man, isn't he? He's a friendly man. He's a good man. No, he's a godly man. You see, here was a woman who knew what marks out a man and a woman from others. And it's not niceness, it's not generosity, it's not friendliness, it's holiness. What makes someone good in your eyes? That they're nice, maybe, that they're friendly, that they're hospitable, and all of those things are good. But do we look for holiness and godliness? As we view people, as we look at people, are we looking for a godly life and a godly character? We see that this was the topic of conversation in the home in verse 9. She said unto her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God. What a conversation this lady and her husband had. It all centered around godliness and holiness, and of course, ultimately, all centered around Christ. You know, that's a tremendous lesson in all of our homes. We can talk about everything. We can talk about anything in the home. But how much do we actually talk about the things of God? Here was a home where the conversation centered around the things of God. What a challenge. This lady saw the beauty and the virtue and the loveliness of Christ within the life of Elisha. And she says, I perceive that this is an holy man of God. You know, folks, it's the easiest thing in the world to put people down. We can all do it, and we're all guilty of it. It's the easiest thing in the world to talk about people and to backbite about people. But how often do we talk about the goodness and the godliness of people, just as this woman did? We see the regard that was shown here to Elisha, her devotion and her discernment. But let's come further and see now the reception that was given. The reception that was given. I want us to turn our attention now to see the manner in which this woman received such a, or this man received such a warm reception in this home, and how much it was appreciated by Elisha, the man of God. As we think about this reception, I want you to see that it was sincere. It was sincere. You see, as Elisha passed by this home each time he was in the area, he was given food to eat. He was very gladly, warmly received into this home, and all the practical needs were met. In verse 8, we've read that she constrained him to eat bread. This dear woman showed tremendous Christian hospitality. And you know, folks, Christian hospitality is a ministry. Paul, writing to the church at Rome in Romans 12 and 13, says, distributing to the necessity of saints given to hospitality. That's a ministry. This dear woman was sincere in her desire to feed the man of God. And she didn't do it for show. We'll see that later on. This was practical Christianity at its very best. By simply making meals for this man, she was showing how sincere she was in her Christian life. How welcoming her home was for others. There are people in this congregation, and you're just like this lady. And you maybe don't know I know that. But there are people in this congregation who, when people are sick, they're making meals for them and providing for them and helping them. And you're not doing it for show. And maybe you think it's no big deal what you're doing. I can assure you it's a big deal to those who receive it. This lady was entertaining Elisha. Oh, she wasn't worried about the state of the house. She wasn't worried about getting the best tea set out. She was just wanting to be hospitable and making food for God's man as he went about the work of God. And again, let me say that your practical help of others in this congregation is a sincere work and ministry. And never think that it's any less significant than any other part of the work or ministry in the church. This reception that this woman showed to Elisha was sincere. This reception that this woman gave to Elisha not only was sincere, but it was steady. It wasn't just a one-off thing. Again, in verse 8, we see that so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. It was regular, it was steady, it was constant. She regularly and often practically cared for the needs of the servant of God. She was careful and she was constant in her consideration of Elisha. This really was the case that this home was open. There was genuine warmth and friendliness about her care and her provision of God's servant. She was constant and steady. Is that not the sort of service that we should offer to the Lord? Whether in this practical way or in other ways, it should be steady. This was no just flash in the pan thing. This woman didn't welcome Elisha in, and then the next time he passed by, she didn't want to know him. This was constant. This was Christian service that could be depended upon, and Elisha knew it. Elisha knew that what he needed, he could go to this lady because her service and her devotion was constant. She didn't do it just once. She did it constantly. And so she was dependable. Do we have a dependable Christian character? Can you be depended upon in their Christian service? Can you be counted upon when things are needed to be done? Are you willing to do what you can, even on a practical level, in the work of God? Sadly, some Christians blow hot and cold. As far as their service for the Lord is concerned, they're on fire for the Lord one minute, and the next they're stone cold. They're with you one moment, supporting you, saying all sorts of things, and then the next they change their tune entirely. May we strive to be people who can be depended upon and counted on in the work of God. Back home in Tyrone, they used to talk about daisy people. I don't know if you've ever heard of daisy people. But they mean that people who are with you some days and then people who are against you other days. They're up and down and they blow like the wind. Days they're there and then other days they're nowhere to be seen. This woman was trustworthy. She was dependable. That is the service that matters in the work of God. And it may not be in a practical way, just as this lady. You may not be able to make a meal for anybody. And if you're a bit like me, if you were to make a meal for somebody, well, they mightn't just appreciate it too much. But then beans and toast is always handy, no matter where you go. But you can do something else. You can help them. In your service for God, think of your service for God in this church, in your attendance at this church. If this is where the Lord would have you be steady, be constant, be dependable, be counted upon. Notice as well, it was spiritual. Verse 10, she consulted with her husband. Verse 10, this conversation continues. And she's talked about perceiving that Elisha is a holy man of God. The conversation goes on in verse 10, and they say, "Let us make a little chamber, and I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him a bed, there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither." You see what I mean? That this service for God was practical, but there was also balance in it. It was spiritual. It was spiritual. She knew that the work of God that Elisha was doing was demanding. And so she, in conjunction with her husband, sought to provide for him a room that he could come and go as he pleases. This was to be a place of rest, but it was also to be a place of meditation, a place where Elisha could prepare himself in quietness for the work of God. A little chamber, a bed there, a table, a stool, and a candlestick. A place where he could be undisturbed, to take time in meditation and preparation for his work as the prophet of God. You see, here again we see just how spiritual this woman was. How godly this home was. They knew that there needed to be a time, a place of meditation, a place of solitude, a place of quietness. A place of getting alone with God, to be undisturbed and to be before God. She knew that. Her husband knew that. This is essential. Not just for the pastor. Not just for the preacher. But this time alone with God, this little chamber, often referred to as the prophet's chamber, this little place is essential for every child of God to get alone with God, time apart from everything else. Just the bare essentials. A bed, a table, a stool, and a candlestick. But a place alone, and a place undisturbed, where he could get alone with God. Do we have a little chamber? Do we have a little place where we get before God and seek him and call upon him? This woman knew it was important. And so it shows her spiritual stature. Oh, what reception this woman gave to Elisha. It was sincere. It was steady. And it was spiritual. But finally, I want us to notice here now the recognition that was shunned. The recognition that was shunned. I got well in a few weeks' time when we come back and we continue on in our studies in Elisha. We'll look at more detail, especially at the matter of the son that was given to this family, given to them by God, and in recognition of the love and the kindness. But as we close this morning, I want you to notice that this woman and her husband, they were both in it together. They didn't want any recognition for what they had done. We read in verse 11, it fell on a day that he came, that's Elisha, thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. They provided for Elisha this little place, this little chamber. And Elisha used it and made good use of it. In verse 12 we read, Elisha said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite. And when he called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Willest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? What does she say? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. I dwell among mine own people. As we think of this recognition that was shunned, I wanted to see here her contentment. Her contentment. As we've read in these verses, Elisha was anxious to repay her for her kindness. He says, you've been careful for us with all of this care. And now we want to repay you. Want to seek to give you back something in return for your care for us. And she says, I dwell among mine own people. He says, do you want me to speak to the king or to the captain of the host for you? She says, no, I dwell among mine own people. In other words, she said to Elisha, thank you for your kind offer, but I don't need anything. She was content in the state that she had. You see, this was a lady not looking for more. This was a lady not greedy for more. She was content with her lot in life. She didn't want the king knowing about her business. She didn't want the captain of the host to know what she had done. She wasn't in it to be recognized or rewarded. She was showing sincere, genuine Christian faith. She engaged in the service of the Lord not to be noticed, not to be rewarded. She didn't do it to promote herself or to fill her own nest. She did it out of a love for the Lord. She didn't want her service recognized. She didn't want what she had done to be acknowledged, because she was doing it out of a genuine, sincere heart. I know I don't have to say this to this congregation, because there are many of you today who serve the Lord and nobody knows what you're doing in this practical manner, but those who receive it. But never serve the Lord with the hope that you're going to get a pat on the back from somebody else. Never serve the Lord, for whatever way you serve Him, never serve the Lord with the hope that you're going to get applauded. Yes, of course, it's right to be recognized. But never do it with the hope, well, I hope somebody sees what I'm doing. If your work for God is done with the hope that it'll be recognized, then you're not doing it for the Lord, you're doing it for yourself. Because remember, whatever service you offer to the Lord, whether in a practical way or in another way, it will never go unnoticed by the Lord. Paul, writing to the Hebrew believers, said, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you show toward His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. God sees what we do in the secret, and that's all that matters. Godliness with contentment, the Bible tells us, is great gain. And this woman had it all, and had it all in abundance. She had godliness, and she had contentment. As we think of this recognition that was shunned, we see her contentment, but we see as well her commendation. In verse 14, we see how that Elisha continued to seek to commend her work, and he said unto her, what then is to be done for her? He was commending her for her work and for her service. He insisted, what then is to be done? Elisha, in making this statement, was wanting to see what way she could be rewarded, even though she didn't want any reward. Because he could see that this service was done ultimately to the Savior. It's very possible and most likely that nobody else in Shunem knew what was going on in this home. But the man of God saw it. The Lord saw it. The Lord speaking in Matthew 25, and speaking about the day of His coming and the reward of the faithful child of God. Turn with me just as we close to Matthew 25. Matthew 25 and the verse 35. That day when the Son of Man shall come in His glory. And the Lord says to those on His right hand, verse 34, come ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. Verse 35, He says, for I was an hungry and ye gave Me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave Me drink. I was a stranger and ye took Me in. Naked and ye clothed Me. I was sick, ye visited Me. I was in prison, ye came unto Me. Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, When saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and come unto thee? In other words, when did we do these things to you, Lord? Because we don't know about it. We don't remember doing these things. We don't remember feeding you. We don't remember giving you drink. We don't remember taking you in. What does the Lord say? Look at verse 40. Verse 40, the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Your service, in a practical way, to others who are in need, is done unto the Lord. And the Lord sees it. Practical Christian service done with a heart for the Lord, with a desire to help others, is done ultimately unto the Lord. And even as you serve the Lord in this practical way of doing things for others, you are doing it unto Him. Thank God for those who seek to serve the Lord in this church, who week in, week out, seek to serve the Lord amongst the children and the young people. Come faithfully to the house of God. You think of all those who this week will give up a week of their life and serve the Lord and camp and be up night and day. Folks, you're doing it unto the Lord. And the Lord will bless you. And the Lord will encourage you. This woman's service was commended. This lady, known only as the Shunammite woman, her name unknown, her home obscure, yet she showed her love to the Lord in seeking to meet the practical needs of the man of God. And she did it without any desire to be recognized or her name to be recorded. I said this last week, and without sounding like a broken record, I'm going to say it again this week, that this account of what we read here in 2 Kings 4, verse 8 through to 17, is a telling lesson, I believe, for the Church of Christ today. It has, over recent months, become a little unsettling for me, and maybe I'm just odd and a little boring. Or very boring. But it has become unsettling for me that Christians do things to be seen, and they feel the need to broadcast it to the world on social media. Perhaps we need to rethink the way in which we do our service for the Lord. The way in which churches are scrambling over themselves to tell the world of their good deeds. Maybe we need to take our lead from this home and this family who serve the Lord away from the public gaze. This woman didn't need to plaster it over Facebook that I've built a little room for the man of God. I've served him every day and I've given him food. She didn't need to do that. She didn't do it because the Lord saw it. The Lord saw it. Practical Christianity has a place. And this account of Scripture shows us the place it has. I close with the words of the Apostle Paul to the church of Galatia. In Galatians 6 and 10, he writes and he says, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Galatians 6 and 10 is seen in action in 2 Kings 4, verse 8 through to 17. A lady who showed her love for the Lord by practically serving and looking after the needs of others. And as much as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, dear Christian, you've done it unto the Lord. And the Lord that seeth in secret will reward you openly. Let's bow in prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we pray that you'll bless thy word to our hearts. O God, we pray that you'll give us a greater love for thee. And Lord, in having that greater love for thee, then Lord, help us to serve thee and to serve others and to seek, Lord, to do what we can. And Lord, even in a practical way, such as this lady did, as this home Lord in Shunem. Oh God, we pray that we might learn the lessons. And oh God, we pray that we might always seek to do whatever we do for the Lord, not to be rewarded or not to be recognized by others or by the world, but knowing that whatever we do out of a genuine, sincere heart for others, we do it unto thee. Bless thy word, we pray. Speak on, we ask of thee. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen.